What's up, everyone? Taylor May here with Security VIP. I want to thank you for tuning in to another episode of our podcast series, Your Home for Nothing But the Truth. And hey, if you're passionate about sharing the unfiltered truth and want to be featured in a community that's all about it, Security VIP is your home. Our community boasts over 2,500 end users in the security industry, spanning from sectors such as retail, gaming, entertainment, education, professional sports, healthcare, government, and even more. So whether you're eager to boost your company's visibility, showcase cutting-edge technology, or you want to address key industry changes, Security VIP is the platform for you. So if you're ready to dive in, shoot us an email at info@securityvip.net, or you can connect with us on LinkedIn at SVIP. Remember, Security VIP is your home for nothing but the truth, and we look forward to featuring you in the next episode. Stay safe.
You think you know me.
Today on Security VIP, we feature the Security Communications Manager of Westgate Las Vegas Resort and Casino, Jason Boss. Get ready for nothing but the truth.
What's going on, everyone? Welcome back to the episode of the Security VIP Podcast, your home for nothing but the truth. As always, I'm your host, Taylor May. And on today's episode, we are going to Vegas. Yes, beautiful Las Vegas. Vegas is like my second home, by the way. I've made a lot of money in Vegas and lost a lot of money in Vegas, I tell people. But the running theme is my house here in Dallas was built on Vegas because of all the casinos and my casino friends that I work with. And today I'm featuring a casino friend. His name is Jason Boss. He's the Security Communications Manager for Westgate Resorts out there in Vegas. You might know that last name, son of Dirk Boss, legendary godfather of surveillance, they say, in the casino sector. So Jason, my friend, welcome to Security VIP. How are you?
I'm doing very well, man. Thank you for having me. This has been a long time coming, especially, you know, I pushed it out and then I'd say, oh, I'm ready. And then we would have to wait a little bit longer. And, you know, I'm very excited, probably a little bit nervous as well, but this is actually very cool, man. I do appreciate you having me on.
No, pleasure's all mine. Your last name speaks for itself, man. You're a boss. Your father's a boss. And that's obviously how you are in the industry. And the fault's on me, man. We were supposed to have this episode last week, but I was sick as a dog, dude. I was like, man, I gotta reschedule this. But I'm glad you're on the episode now, man. So for my listeners, dude, let's just talk about yourself real quick. Tell me all about Jason Boss. We know your dad. A lot of people know your dad in the industry, but you know, you're your own person. You're paving your own path. You know, obviously, I've got a dad in the industry that has paved his path, and people relate myself to him. But I'm like, you know what? I'm my own person. You know, I want to create my own path. So tell me, and tell my listeners all about Jason Boss.
Oh, this is just like in your interview when you have to discuss yourself. This is where I always trip up, man. I'm not one that likes to talk about himself. I always try to be the one that helps others. So my background is quite interesting, man. I actually, for the longest time, tried to stay away from the casinos. You know, I had always wanted to go into either law enforcement or the military. You know, I wanted to be that guy that maybe a fighter pilot or a Navy SEAL, or, you know, I wanted to be SWAT team. And yeah, I didn't go that route. You know, the higher powers, if you will, had different, I don't know what to call it, different plans for me. And the more I pushed away from the casino, it just seemed like more and more it pushed back. And finally, I started with a well-known casino here in Vegas as a house officer. A lot of those don't know what a house officer is. There's a lot of the house officer usually takes care of, you know, what's going on in the casino. They may be that person that's helping out with directions, standing in a post, maybe at the elevator, asking for your elevator key. And then it kind of went from there to nightclub security, really involved in the nightlife. I've been in surveillance. That's a one thing that's kind of interesting thing about me is I'm kind of a jack of all trades. I've been in surveillance, done surveillance. I do love it, especially the investigative side. I've been in tribal gaming, which was very interesting for me, on the compliance side, doing investigations on how operations operate, building relationships. Now, of course, I'm in the security position or communications manager, and that basically, I do make sure that our officers, when they talk to my dispatchers, they get the right information, they get the right help, especially when we're talking to guests. We don't necessarily talk to guests on the face-to-face, but we do a lot of phone calls. So just kind of bringing in all this experience, the surveillance side, being able to understand situations a little bit differently than most, especially in security, taking all the information in, how to distribute that information. It's been a crazy career for me, but one of the things that I think got me out of surveillance, I like to talk to people. I love to be involved. I love to do things. And, a lot of people like to just sit in a chair and, watch monitors, which is fine. But me, I like to be involved in everything. And it's been a crazy last 10 years, but I've learned a lot and I've done a lot, and I'm finally happy where I'm at. And it's been a long time coming to say those words. And a lot of people, I think when they're young, they don't know what they want to do. And it kind of took me some time to finally figure it out. And I think my dad would say, finally, you found your position that you want to be happy on.
That's awesome, man. It's similar to kind of how, like, obviously everyone knows your dad, surveillance director for years and years and years, great individual and legend in the industry. It's funny, man, like I didn't see myself being in security myself, because my dad's been in it for 20 years. I was like, yeah, it's cool, Dad, but I don't see myself doing that. So I actually joined like the automotive sector, and I just got sick of that. But then I just like, you know what, I'm going to give security a shot. And here I am 12 years later, and I love what I do. But I love your background, because you just said, look, I'm a jack of all trades. I've done and deviled into compliance and surveillance, and I've done that job, investigative job, and now I'm on the security sector. And what I've seen, Jason, and you might see this too, is certain casinos, when you have a security department, a surveillance department, sometimes they mesh well and sometimes they don't mesh well. So maybe walk us through your philosophy, because you've done both jobs and you know both jobs, but are you still communicating with surveillance? You still have a good relationship over there in the surveillance department? Maybe walk us through that, because I've seen that happen sometimes in the casino sector where we have silos and they don't really talk to each other.
So in the overall picture, from what I have done, is I have taken my ability to build relationships from my tribal gaming time into the security surveillance side. Now, you are right. There is this weird battle that goes on between security and surveillance. And I know why, because a lot of the times one department thinks that they're better, or that they're doing a lot more, and they're not necessarily involved in things, and they're doing investigations that may impact certain departments more so than others. So they're kind of the big brother, if you will. Right. So they kind of that, I don't want to say complex, but it is there. So what I have done is I've said, okay, yes, I understand that you do the investigations. I know that you have this title to where, you can really change somebody's life in the matter of minutes, really. You know what I mean? And what I've done is said, okay, I get it. You're in that position, but help me to understand what you're trying to do to make things better. Maybe I can be that, that piece where if you tell me, hey, I'm seeing this, maybe I can distribute that information out to others and other departments. I don't necessarily need to be involved in the investigation, but I can work with you in saying, hey, you're seeing this. So what in my position can I do to spread the word around and say, hey, we probably shouldn't do it this way. We probably should do it this other way. I hope that makes sense. It's a very tough position to be in, especially in the surveillance world. And that's the other thing, is I want to make sure that my cohorts in surveillance understand that I'm part of the same team. We all are part of that same team. And sometimes I think surveillance thinks that they get forgotten because they're up in a room and nobody sees them, but their job is just as important as security is. We're just on a different level. My dad has always said the same thing: surveillance and security, we're this, we're a family. We do the same job, and I'm sure I'm going to get a lot of heat for saying that, but I do agree with them. We're doing the same thing. We protect the property and we make sure that the property is safe. We just do it in different ways. One's behind a camera, one's physically. And I've had to also learn that not every person's like me. You know, the egos that are out there are very, very tough. And I think with me being a little bit more of a patient individual, especially more understanding, that what's the word I'm looking for? There seems to be this pushback, like with security doesn't know what I'm going through. They don't understand what I go through. And when I kind of explain a little bit more about who I am and my background, I'm able to open those doors. Because it's like, okay, well, he does understand where I'm coming from because he's been in that position. He knows what's happening. And it builds that relationship a little bit more because they don't have to be so much on guard of what they're doing and how they're doing it. You know, there's a tendency of being standoffish and not wanting to, you know, tell everything. And I'll come in and say, you don't need to tell me anything. All I want to do here is just make us a better team together. And it's like, oh, okay. Yeah. And that's helped me in my relationship with not only, you know, other departments, but definitely surveillance. And they've really taken that and it's helped me to make them laugh a little bit more.
Well, the reason why I asked that question, Jason, is because, you know, future leaders and individuals that do devil in surveillance or security or InfoSec, I want them to listen to that because that's great piece of advice about cross collaboration and communicating internally with other departments. Because again, for so long, the industry has been siloed in certain departments, but it takes individuals like yourself, leaders like yourself, to open that door and say, hey, look, you know, we're all, like you just said, we're a family, but we all have a shared interest and a shared responsibility to protect others in this casino and as well as our own selves. So I love that piece of advice that you just mentioned. I would probably guess you guys are probably using, if not similar technologies or SOPs anyway. So maybe walk me through like some of the things that you use on a day-to-day basis that is like, I need to be able to use this piece of technology or this SOP or this product because it solves 80% of my headaches or it's very effective. Maybe walk us through some products or innovations that you're using today that is helpful for you to be at the best of your job.
I think the biggest thing is, you know, the VMS, right? Making sure that we both understand that we have to use the VMS and we have to understand our roles of, you know, who needs to do what. And with that, surveillance has always been known for the gaming side, right? They're heavily involved in that. They're doing their work. They're doing what they need to do. But security should heavily be involved on the outside perimeter, right? Really understanding, okay, who's coming in, who's going out. Being able to identify what may be bad and what's not bad. Right now, we're still working on different platforms with LPRs. We're coming into facial rec. And that's where I think it's going to help us to be a lot more successful on the security side. If we understand what they're looking at and work together in identifying the criminals before they even, you know, step foot. And sometimes that's hard, where, you know, I want my dispatchers to understand the surveillance techniques and being able to identify problems before they even come on to our property. They may be in a parking garage, but if we're able to determine the suspicious behavior before they even come in, that's very, very important. So to kind of summarize, LPRs, the facial rec, the VMS, actually being able to tie in our gates into our VMS, be able to shut those, be in charge of those, being able to identify the vendors that are coming and going, the databases, software that we use on a daily basis to put information in and share that information with the surveillance side. Well, so that way, if we're putting all that information in and they see that, that's going to help them do their investigation even further. So hopefully that kind of summarized a little bit of what you were looking for in that question.
Yeah, no, I mean, I agree. Because I think when I view it like surveillance and security and casino industry, obviously surveillance, they're monitoring the floor, the monitoring table games, right? You know, people are cheating or scamming. You know, that happens daily. Obviously, I've seen Resorts Worlds SOC, Zach and Will over there, they do a great job. But you've got Matt over there. Matt's the VP of security, the red coats at the Resorts World. I always like I make a joke every time I see the red coats over there. But you're right, you guys are like the first level of defense, So if I can catch a banned guest or a banned employee or an advantage player or a potential active shooter or this person of interest on face rec via a face detection, a recognition or an LPR hit, that allows you to either confront that person, stop that person, prevent that person from walking inside the casino. So you guys really are, that perimeter, like you said, you guys are safeguarding that situation. But I guess, Jason, my question, like for 2025, man, what do you think is like the biggest challenge for security directors and managers in the casino sector right now? Like what's a big threat that we're still tackling this year in 2025?
I probably should be careful on how I answer this one.
I
I
know
think
there's
we
a lot out there. Before I say that, I mean, I always tell like every casino person I talk to, man, I think you guys have the most critical job anyway. Like the most, not the most critical, but the most challenging job, because just because you guys, it's 24/7 operations, mass foot traffic. There's so many like open floor plan concepts. You've got a lot of lighting situations to deal with. So I always tell people, like, first and foremost, I think casino sector probably number one challenging environment to secure and protect. But I guess from your perspective, yeah, I would love to understand like what's the biggest threat or one of the most challenging threats for you guys to secure.
Well, we're open, right? We're very open. You can pretty much get onto property through several different areas.
Right.
But I would say the hardest part is, for me, in my own opinion, is the ability to hire people that understand the goals of security. I think in 2025, especially after the pandemic, it seems like the type of folks that are coming into this industry don't have that level of understanding what security is about. I don't know what it is. I mean, I grew up in it, so I kind of understood from a young age why it's so important to understand your perimeter should be secure, how to secure it, how to observe people, how to look for bad behavior. I'm just not seeing that anymore. I don't. It's not there. Folks don't look for that. When I say folks, I mean people that we want to bring in and be, the first person that a guest comes in and sees and talks to and identifies, is this a bad person or not a bad person? We're just, it's not there. I mean, you try to train it, you try to tell them how to be a security officer and how to, better yourself, but I'm not seeing that level of, okay, I have this position, I want to take it bigger, and I want to be a part of this family, and I want to expand to it. Having someone like myself that's very dedicated and motivated in this position, it's hard for me to see why does somebody just put so much effort in to be a better security officer. I get it in security. It's hard. The budgets are low. Kind of a required position, but I just don't see it. I don't know where. It's one of those things where you just scratch your head and just wonder what's happened to individuals. I mean, is it because they're in their cell phones all day and they're seeing video games and the VR and all this stuff? I actually, for me, at one point, I thought people would be excited to be even in a position of like dispatching because you're around, camera systems, you're moving around doing stuff, and it's not the case. So for 25, it seems to just have, the right individual in those positions. And I think this argument could be made actually within the last. Since the pandemic started. And of course, I'm sure some people would disagree, and it may be the budgets, it may be, the type of technology. The technology is growing, but the person that you put in that position to watch it is not. And I think for me, I can actually say that we're in a weird crisis where I think I'm gonna, call my fellow managers and directors and say, you know, what do we do to make this industry better to where we have the right people in place?
Yeah, that's man, I was not expecting that answer. That's interesting, man. And it's a great topic of discussion, because we talk about, obviously you mentioned the budget cuts. I know financial might be a big thing where, you know, I'm not getting paid enough to justify doing this job, but passion, you know, having dedication and passion, because that's a hard thing. In my belief, you can't teach passion. I think passion comes from within, what motivates you to do your job successfully. But to find individuals that are just, you know, giving 110% every single day in, day out, I get that's challenging, man. I guess what would be a recommendation there? If you put financials aside, let's say, you know, maybe we have low funds. Obviously, the technology is cool that we use, but what do you think is going to motivate to decrease attrition and keep employees, but the right employees, or find those right individuals? Because, like, I speak with casino surveillance directors a lot, and, you know, like Tony Clark goes like, oh, I hire gamers, I hire guys that code because they look at screens, and play guys that play Call of Duty because they love being around action like that. But from your perspective, man, what else? How do you find the right individual for that kind of role and keep that, number one, find it, but also keep and retain that individual so they're happy and they're on a path to excel?
For me, what I tell myself every day is, and I know this is going to be perfect for you, when you went into college football, my guess, and correct me if I'm wrong, your coaches always gave you a goal to strive for,
right,
to be something better. And that ultimate goal may have been, you know, either a starter or maybe the championships, or maybe a bigger picture where you're going in the NFL and you become a champion in the NFL. Has anybody ever asked the question to somebody that's brand new, what is your goal? What do you want to accomplish? And me as a manager, how can I help you accomplish that?
Mm-hmm.
No goals. There's no motivation. It's usually, I need this person to be here because I need to fill this position for this person to be here, like at the main, or I need them because I need my elevators, you know, somebody to be at the elevators, or I need somebody in my towers because those are going unprotected. But if you look at, and I'm not going to mention their name, but if you look at certain groups, it's very hard to find mentors. It's very hard to find the ability for a manager to say, okay, so you want to come to me and you want to be certified in a certain thing. Great. I love it. But what's your ultimate goal? What do you want to strive to be? You want to strive to be in my spot? That's what I tell my staff. I want to train you so you can take my job at one point.
Yeah.
That's what my dad's always taught me. You train the people to take your job at one point, you're never going to have to work because you've taught the people the right way. And if you're not worried about it, it's great. And I do get a lot of shocked faces when I say that. You know, if I'm training the person to take my spot, I'm not worried if they take that spot. I'm not afraid of it. But in this industry, the security industry, specifically for casino, there seems to be no motivation, because what are they motivated for?
Right.
Paycheck? I think all of us could look at the research, especially in leadership books, especially in classes. They say a lot of folks don't really want the incentive. That's great. But ultimately, they look for more stuff. What is their management? What is their leadership doing for them to make them better? And unfortunately, it's not there.
Mm.
And that's, I ask my staff that all the time. Like, what do you want to do to help this place grow? What do you want to do? How do you want our department to succeed? Well, I think we should do this. All right, let's do it. Really? Yeah. Now, that comes with some caveats. I mean, there's some suggestions that, or recommendations I've had where I'm like, oh, well, hold on. We can't do that. That's a little much. You know, I can't get rid of a certain amount of, you know, staff because they're just not listening. Or I can't, you know, bring in this huge, you know, video monitoring service or all. I can't do that. But right, what can we right. do where, you know, can we make things a little bit easier for you? You know, or can I do some things that make your lives easier as dispatchers or as an officer, when they know that their manager comes to them and wants to hear their goals and their motivation, I've had better responses. I've had people that want to work. And I've learned that from my dad. That's how you get people to stay with you wherever you go. And unfortunately, I have to say it again, there's a crisis with our industry where the mentors aren't there. I spent probably, I'm going to estimate on this because I don't know for sure, but it seemed like 2 years where I searched and searched for a mentor in this industry. But nobody wants to help each other. Everybody's closed off. Nobody wants to, talk to each other. I've been involved in, some things where I may go to where I'm trying to network, but they get too busy. They're doing other stuff. And it's sad to see that. Even those who are already up in those high leadership positions, you go to them, hey, I'm really looking for a mentor. Well, why? There doesn't seem to be the enthusiasm of, you want a mentor? Oh man, this is amazing. Sit down. And that's why I always tell my dad, I'm unfortunate because I never got to work for him.
Yeah.
Because he did that. He did those things for people. And I didn't get the benefit, of course, because of, the conflict that was there. But I see it now. The industry is not full of mentoring like you would in football. I know a long time ago, I taught a class about conflict resolution. How is it that we tell our people that they should be working for each other and barely do anything about it, but the Marines take a 12-week period where they're building you to work with each other and help each other. But we expect that within the first day of hiring them.
Right.
Well, how come you're not helping them out? That's because we haven't provided the right tools. And that falls on us as management. It falls on us. We got to do a better job.
Man, you're throwing truth bombs right now on this podcast. I love your perspective. And we were talking about this before we kicked this off live. And I was going to ask you, was this like a generation disconnect thing in the casino sector, where you have different generations of mentalities that say, "Hey, I don't really have the time or the energy or the passion to even mentor someone younger." And the second part of that question, Jason, was like, "Well, do you feel like other people that are in the same age range as you or younger are not being vocal about their goals and ambitions, or maybe they don't feel like they have that right to say that in this industry?" So I guess from your perspective, man, what is there a generation disconnect? Because you mentioned your dad, and your dad's obviously older, and your dad's near my age. So I don't want to shit on the older generation, but I do want to highlight individuals that are in our generation, if not younger, about speaking up and vocalizing everything that you just nailed the head on. So is there a generation disconnect in the casino sector that people are not being mentor friendly? I mean, walk me through that.
I would say yes. I have different generations that work for me. Those are in the older generations. They're not going to say anything because they're in that generation of, I'm not going to say anything unless I'm asked to, or I'm told I have to say it. Otherwise I'm going to do my job, get it done, and go home. The newer generations, I don't know what it is, but it seems like the newer generations, even younger than me, seem to be a little bit more, like, I've had to learn that if I have a problem with something, I have to be professional about it. I have to be understanding that not everybody's going to understand what I'm trying to say, and they may not like it, which is fine. But this newer generation does tend to be a little bit more, I'm going to say it, whiny. And it's hard for older generations to understand that whiny complex. It's not necessarily the fault of those who are whiny, because they grew up in a very, very well-connected generation to the computer, to the cell phones. The cell phones didn't teach them how to be. Of course, we would hopefully rely on the families, the parents, to do that. But I have noticed that, even for me, there's a few times where some people have come to me and, you know, say, hey, why is this going on? And I have to look at them and go, why am I even talking about this? But then I have to go, okay, well, hold on a second. Maybe they just don't understand. And they like that collaboration a little bit more than somebody that's a little bit older. So yeah, there is that generation gap where, you know, there may be one that just doesn't know how to ask it, or they're just too afraid to ask it.
Is it typical, Jason, in the casino sector, like to be a VP of surveillance or a VP of security or a chief security officer or whatever it may be? Is it typical for that position to require X amount of years or experience or a certain age to be in that position? Or to your point, because obviously you're a young leader, you know, if you wanted to be the CSO of MGM or Westgate or Resorts World or whatever, you know, or maybe a tribal casino or maybe outside of that, what's the path to get there, man? Or so younger individuals can follow your footsteps. I mean, what walk me through the path of an executive role in that position.
I think we do have a pendulum swing right now. I am seeing a lot of younger leaders because maybe they have better ideas. They're a lot more, you know, what's the word I want? They're more motivated to kind of run around, do things, get things done. That's not to, and I'm not saying that, you know, in any way that says the older generations can't, I'm not trying to get in that conversation. But I think, you know, as younger leaders, we're a little bit more on that swing that we're constantly moving. You know what I mean? We're always looking for that next answer, while some have gotten to that point where it's just like, I don't need an answer to a point. I can sit here, understand what's going on, observe it, then figure it out. And those VP roles, to answer the question of if it's age, if it's experience, I used to fight the whole experience thing for a long time. But now that I've been in this position for a while, I do think experience is very beneficial. Very. Because you understand certain things that are going on a little bit more so than those who may have just started.
Mm-hmm.
So in the VP role, I think experience is very important, especially in the director, the chair. You need some soft skills that help you to sit and listen and understand the problems that are coming in front of you. Because I know as a younger manager, anytime something come up to me, I'm like, oh my God, everything's happening. What do I do? How do I handle this situation? But now that I've gotten a little bit older, a little bit more time under my belt, I'm like, okay, wait a second. Okay, this problem is happening, but why is it happening? What is developing in front of me? And, you know, I tend to ask those questions a little bit more as I get older, because I really don't want to stress myself out. And I think that's very important, because those who are under you, they see that.
Right.
On a boss that's highly, you know, active, to where they're getting upset, they're getting frustrated, or they want something that's like, okay, I'm taking all this information in, and this is how I'm going to respond to it. And I think that's important, especially in the security field. You know, you got a lot going on. You have a lot of things that are flying at you at 100 miles an hour. And to have somebody that sits here and goes, okay, I see this thing. So team, this is how we're going to respond. And they hear the calmness. It helps the team to stay motivated. So experience is highly important. And I hate saying that, because I fought so hard. And now I'm like, no, I get it. It's important.
Well, I think the way you just answer that question is the way you analyzed it and process it, because you're right, Jason. When you have people that report to you, they look to you for how you're going to respond to certain situations. And if you have a knee-jerk reaction, and whether it's a high emotion or it's a decision that you don't take enough time to process, and it doesn't go, the result isn't what you want, then they look at you as like, hey, you know, is Jason the right guy for the job? Or is this guy, does he know what he's doing? But the way you just answer that, I really like that, because You should probably be a lawyer too, man. I feel like you could be a great lawyer the way you process and analyze information with that and to your point, I will agree with you. The experience factor, I hated that in the security industry because I was like, I want to be a VP before I'm 30, and luckily I was able to do that at the age of 27 or 28. Well, I would do that, but I fought that so hard because I was like, why do you I was like, but I was in a different position. I was a sales role. It was, I was producing revenue. It's a whole different conversation. But to your point, experience does matter. I agree, especially in this involving environment. And I know the casino evolves constantly. So anything else, man, you want to say about, I guess, like the whole generation thing? Because I think it's an important topic and no one's talking about it. We did talk about earlier about like mental health, and that's a big factor. Just not be beyond casino, just beyond insecurity. We talk about mental health in school districts and kids nowadays going through what they have to go through. But from your perspective, what maybe anything around that subject that you think is important to mention on this episode?
Well, when I started as a shift manager, I noticed for a while there that security didn't really have the ability to release their frustrations in a very calm manner. I didn't see the, of course I saw the ability for the team to come together and talk, but once everybody clocked out for the day, it's like, what's really going on in everybody's head? I mean, you got to deal with your family. And then once you're done with your family, you got to go right back to work. And in the casino industry, it's very tough. You got people yelling at you. They're talking down to you. They're, almost getting into fights with you. You got to hear everything under the sun, and it's semi, law enforcement related. On law enforcement, it's the same thing. And when you hear that so many times, psychologically, it does mess with you. And I've always thought it was important to where we should have that ability to go somewhere and talk to someone. I don't necessarily want to go talk to an expert because they're not going to understand where I'm coming from, but to have another buddy, if you will, that says, hey, I'm in the same industry. I understand where you're going from. And you hear these stories. You hear what's going on, it helps you. It helps you to relieve that stress. It helps you to understand you're not the only person. And you are able to identify those, those issues faster. And you can just call up that one person and say, hey, this is what I saw today. It kind of affected me because, security, they see things, not just the people that are yelling at them, but certain incidents in the rooms, maybe incidents in the parking garages, it sticks with you. And it EAP is a great thing, not downing that, but I think it's time for us as an industry to take care of those we ask to be in those positions and say, what can we do more to help this? And I'm a little bit ignorant on this. Because I haven't really done the research of if that's available, security wide. Has anybody actually made that call to everybody and said, hey, how are you taking care of each other? Do you have a support group? Do you have a, do you just call your buddy and say, hey, how are you doing tonight? I think we're still growing. And a lot of folks that are in these positions, they want to reach out because they don't want anybody worried about them, but who knows? Who knows where those statistics are in mental health for a security person? Where, how many people are suffering? How many people have to go to the doctor because they're just not right in the head, because of all these scenes that are just played over and over and over again. And I don't want to see that. The brothers and sisters that are out there protecting Vegas and other areas in the casinos, in other states. They need to know that there's someone out there or there are people out there that can help them before it gets too bad. And I think it's time. I mean, we're too big of an industry to not concentrate on that. And I love for your listeners to tell me if there's an actual, group that's out there that actually says, hey, are you having, this is an organization for everybody that can come and, support each other. But I just don't think that's there. I mean, we have it for the building of our knowledge for security. We have it for building our networking, but where's mental health?
Well, this is I appreciate that counsel and that share, Jason. This is I'm going to call out my listeners, making a call out to those listening to the episode. If you're in the same position as Jason, in the same industry, let's connect, let's talk. I know there's a lot of great leaders in the casino sector that are going in certain situation, or if not the same situation that obviously Jason you just mentioned, and other people are going through. And I know a lot of people that I've connected with and made friends with. Obviously, Tony Clark's a good friend of mine. Brett Miller, I don't know if Brett, he's a director of security for Gun Lakes Casino in Wayland, Michigan. He's a great guy. I would, if you don't know him, I'm happy to connect you with him. But I know there's people out there, man, that are probably going through the same battles, man, going through the same things. And you're right. There's probably not something out there that says, hey, point me to this resource group or point me to this person or what. So I want to make that call out on this episode. Hopefully my listeners will guide us both in the right direction, because I would love to learn more and be involved in that as well. But as we wrap up, Jason, man, 2025, dude, walk me through personal, professional goals, man, for you that you're focusing on. I'm glad to hear that you're very happy in your position. That's awesome, man. I'm glad to see you having success. Obviously, your father, Dirk Boss, is a legend, and you're going to be your own legend. Hopefully, a better legend, because I say the same shit to my dad. I'm going to be better than you. But walk me through some goals, man, for this year. What's that all about?
The largest goal for me is learning everything I can. I want to be that guy that if the GM were to walk up to me and say, "Hey, I'm having some issues with this. What can I do?" I can make those answers. Of course, I'm not going to have every answer.
Right.
But I want to be prepared for everything that happens on property, to know, our software, to know our hardware, to know our people, to know those in the other departments. And even if I don't know who I can reach out to say, "Oh yeah, I've been involved in that before." I want to be that go-to person that people can rely on. But I also want to be the person that, in everybody says, "Yes, Dirk Boss has done great for this, the surveillance industry and really making things better. But Jason has kind of done something different, to where he has changed the industry in this way." And the biggest thing that I keep coming to is I want to change the status of how we as an industry not only help our folks, but to make us better in responding to those in an industry that need help. I think it's very important, and I've actually been talking to a few folks about making some things happen to where, let's say, for example, and I don't want to talk about it too much because I don't want to give it away, but not only to have an organization that helps with mental health, but an organization that helps a little bit more with mentorship. I know all these folks that have been in the industry for a long time, and they say the same thing. Nobody really wants to ask me questions. It's not out there. Nobody has time. Nobody has ability to. And I'm like, we need an organization that can do that, that can provide that. I am in kind of some discussions with myself on how I would like for that to look. But for someone that's just coming in, I think the best thing that I can do is say, slow down, stop trying to do so much, and learn and understand what's going on around you. Because too many of us try too hard. So to kind of wrap that up and all a big ball here, I'm going to be that person where people go, "Hey, do you know Jason Block? Because holy moly, has he changed the industry on how security not only helps each other, but how to make those new to the industry grow.
I think there's some exciting things on the horizon for Jason Boss, but we'll keep people on their feet. I'll just say, get your popcorn ready to my listeners. But you know, it's a great piece of advice, and I'm excited to see your growth and trajectory, my friend. It's you mentioned earlier to be involved with as many people as you can. What comes to my mind the most is Josh Anderson, which I know you know, director of surveillance for Cherokee Nation out there in Tulsa, and you know that property, or you know, obviously the Hard Rock's the biggest property there, but they've got 10 or so casinos in that tribe. And you go to Josh, he goes to every single property. Every single person knows Josh because he's taking the time to know every single person. And I'm not just talking about surveillance and security. I'm talking about operations. I'm talking about marketing, customer experience, you know, the cleaning staff. I mean, you talk about it, man. And so I just think that's a great piece of advice that I've learned from Josh, is to be involved with anyone and outside your department. But Jason, my friend, I genuinely do appreciate your time sharing your insights, your counsel, and obviously your thoughts on this episode. And I want to encourage my listeners to follow you and connect with you. So what's the best way to do that? And you know, for my people to listen more about you or get to know you better, what's the best way to do that?
For me right now, LinkedIn is the best way to connect with me. We had spoken earlier that I'm looking at doing some podcasts myself.
There we
so,
go.
So yeah, stay tuned. We're looking at how to design it, what we want to call it. It's just going to be, you know, the ability for the younger generation and the older generation, like my dad, to talk about the industry. And it's not going to be scripted. It's going to be a no nonsense discussion about what's going on, what needs to be done. We want to have a podcast where it's unscripted. We talk about everything. There may be times where we laugh. There may be times where we make you a little aggressive about what's going on. And I think it's important not only for security professionals to listen to, but maybe even the higher ups that are making decisions about security, get to know us better and, you know, what we're trying to do to accomplish. So it's, stay tuned. It's something big. I think it's going to do great. We're gonna do some big things, and of course we're gonna have Taylor on there to do some speaking as well. And I would love to have Josh as well. I think having people on a big panel talking, I want to be more involved in the conferences that are going on. I think I can't wait. There's a lot to come, a lot of big things, but it's I'm excited.
Well, man, I'll whenever you do make the announcement, whenever you guys get that kicked off, I'll be a big, big promoter of it. I'm happy to point my listeners, man, to your platform and learn and indulge. Anything I can do to help support, I'm here for you, man. And I think honestly, my personal preference is you have a badass last name. Incorporate Boss somehow in the podcast name. I think that'd be a pretty cool incorporation. But no, man. Pleasure as always, dude. And for my listeners, that was Jason Boss, Security Communications Manager for Westgate Resorts. If you're not connected with him yet on LinkedIn, please reach out to him, connect with him. He's more than happy to connect. And if you want to get more information about our podcast series, check us out on our website, svip.news. Connect with us on LinkedIn at SVIP. This episode will be published on YouTube as well as every single major streaming platform, Spotify, Pandora, Apple, iHeartRadio, Amazon. The list goes on. You guys stay safe out there. We'll catch you guys on the next one.